Good morning. So my name is Judith Patterson. I'm a medical doctor and I work for Health on the Net Foundation here in Montreal. So I'm the Canadian representative. Today I'm going to present you the foundation and it works to improve trustworthy health information on the internet. First, I start with the disclosure of conflict of interest. So I disclose that there is no conflict between the foundation and this presentation, since the foundation is funded by public funds and no certified website. The certification is a free process, so there is no conflict of interest. So I'd like to start with two typical examples of information you can find on mental health websites. The first one was a website I found about depression. It claims that new studies show that antidepressants and talk therapy don't do the trick. Here is what does. There's no reference to the study they're talking about, and it criticized the antidepressant or talk therapy, so it threatens the relationship that patients have towards their health professionals. The other example I have is a website about anxiety. The sentence said, "Break this cycle of fear with a tool that will allow you to never fear another panic attack. It has been the solution for thousands of people I have taught so far. Learn what that tool is here." And if you click here, you get to another page that will ask you to pay a certain amount of money, etc., etc. So it's a very strong claim, and there is no scientific support to back it up. So maybe for you people in this room today, it seems suspicious, but it's not that obvious for everyone, and this matters because lots of people use the internet every day, and we know that many people do search for health information online. Based on a study from Pew Internet and American Life Project in 2007, it showed that 8 out of 10 people go online for health information. And another study from the same organization showed that patients with chronic disease are much more likely to use this information to take decisions about their health. The same study showed that 53% of health seekers report that the information they found affected their approach to healthcare for themselves or someone else. And in particular, it influenced a decision about how to treat an illness or condition, the overall approach to maintain their health, a search for second opinion, and or decisions about whether to see a doctor. And the most important point of the studies is that it shows that only 15% of people will check the source and date of health information they found. So there are different approaches to improving health information on the net. You can develop standards. Some government develop standards. For instance, the European Union developed standards in 2004. You can have professional organizations. In France, the physician organization, the surgeon, or a dentist organization develop, each of them develop standards for websites for each of their members. Or you can have industrial consortia developing guidelines, for example, pharmaceutical firms that will develop guidelines, like here in Canada, the PAAB. You can also favor trustworthy health information access through education, targeting population like people with chronic health disease. And you can also label through either a selection-based approach, so it's a sanction-based approach. You will select the website you think are trustworthy, or you can go through a more educational approach through a certification process that will lead to certification while educating the webmasters. So here are a few examples of quality control initiatives. There are initiatives applicable for all sites, and mostly those who are concerned about confidentiality of data on the right of the screen. And on the left, it's specific for health websites. There are a few ones. Most of them are like, for example, the ADGIS on the right is only German, so it's just German websites. You have the URAC, who is from the US. The Hound Code, that's what the foundation proposed. These are mostly certification process, except the Discern Online, which provides a form to allow users to evaluate website by themselves. So that's, it provides tools so that they can do the evaluation by themselves. A few words about the foundation. It was created in 1995 with support from Geneva Ministry of Health in Switzerland. Today it counts 6,800 websites certified in from 118 countries in 34 languages. In 2004, we received the European eHealth Award. And in 2007, the French National Health Authority, the HAS, chose HON for the certification of all French health websites. So this was a very important step for us and for health website. It's the first time a country take the decision to control or to improve health website from that are created in its on its territory. So what is our approach? The most important one is the HON code, and which is a code of conduct, and the certification process and program that is that surrounds it. Then, with all this website, as I've told you before, 6,800, it creates a big database, and so we created search engines to search within this database. And to do that, we had to do research and development. We also developed new tools for the Web 2.0. And we also have collaboration with Google, the WHO, and the HAS, as I told you before. What is the own code now? The own code, it's 8 criteria that are based on ethical principles. It's a pedagogical process. It's multilingual, free of charge. So this is very important. It's totally free. And we have 13 years of experience with this HON code, this code that has evolved with the internet and the needs. So I'll go through the 8 principles. The first one is called authorship. Authorship. We ask that all websites have nominate a person that is in charge of the website, or so that the users can know who is behind the website, who created it, and who supervised it. And we don't necessarily need a name. People don't want to give the name, but we need, the most important is their qualifications. Are they medical doctor? Are they nurses? Are they health professional? Are they patients? Or are they a pharmaceutical firm? So that's important to know who is behind it. The second is called complementarity. The information provided has to complement. It doesn't have to be in competition with a relationship the user may have with a health professional. So it's not there to replace a relationship, but to support it. For instance, in the first sentence I showed you, this was kind of like it was in conflict with a relationship the person could have with a health professional. The privacy, so that's very important when we talk about health and medicine, privacy of data. So the website has to not only respect the confidentiality, but explain to the user how they use the data that are sent to the website, and who can have access to it if the data can be given to a third party, or etc., etc. The referencing, each article or text that is on a website has to be attributed to an author. If the text comes from another website, from an article in a newspaper or in a scientific paper, the reference of this article has to be given. And another point of this principle is the date of publication, when the article was written, but also more and more the date of update. If you have an old website and the article was published in 1998, it's important to know that it was being updated in 2008, for example. So you know that the information is up to date. Justifiability, it has two points. The first point is if a website presents a treatment, it has to give. So if it's a surgery procedure, it has to give the risk of the operation, side effect, indication. If it's a medication that is presented, it has to the same has to give the risk, the side effect, and everything that should appear on the box of the medication. The other point is if a website talk about a drug, it has to give the chemical composite of the drug and the commercial name. All available commercial name for the same chemical component have to be in the country where the website comes from have to be provided to avoid advertising. The transparency, the website have to have an easy contact, and so the contact of the webmaster has to be easily contacted from all pages. Financial disclosure, the website has to identify the funding sources. And the advertising policy, there are two. If the website doesn't have any advertising, it has to say that it doesn't contain advertising. But if it contains advertising, it has to explain how they. Like if there's any conflict of interest or if the advertisers have any influence on the editorial content, and also how they distinguish the banners, the advertisement banners, from the content. And all banners have to be labeled with the advertising word next to it to avoid. So this is how it looks. It's the Douglas website. It's been certified. You find the logo. Most of the time it's on the main page. It contains the date of last review. And if you click on the logo, you'll get on another page that shows the certificate that has lots of information. But the most important is the date of first review and the date of last review, because every year all websites are reviewed. So the certification is valid for a year. So the search engine I told you before, I won't get into details because there are different search engines, different database. I invite you to go and look at it on our website. It's healthonthenet.org. But this is how it looks. We use the Google technology to search through the database. And it's available in 9 main languages you see on the upper left corner. We also provide a toolbar. You can download it free for free from our website. The toolbar will install a plugin in your browser. And this is how it looks on Firefox, for example. So the first thing is on the right, you have the logo. If you surf on a certified website, the logo will light up. If the website is not certified, it will stay black and white. The other thing of the toolbar is the search bar. So you can type a search and a request, and you will go directly to a result page, as I showed you before, on the HON website. And the last thing that the toolbar provides you is when you do a research on general search engine like Google, it will identify the websites that are certified by HON. So that's very important, because studies show that most of people start their health research from Google or Yahoo, but very few people go on a specialized health website. So this provides an easy access to an easy to identify trustworthy health website. So my conclusion is that many people use the internet to seek health information. This information impacts people's health care decisions. The HONCODE certification is an effective way to improve the quality of internet health information by influencing the content, because through the certification process, we also try to teach webmasters what mistakes they made and what they shouldn't do in the future. And so most of the time, they try to not make the same mistakes and to improve their website or the new website they will create. By providing an easy-to-use health-related search engines, as I showed you before, and browser tools. It works. It works because we have 6,800 certified websites in 34 different languages. We've been accredited by the HAS, the French Health National Authority, for certification of all French health websites. And the eEurope quality criteria for health websites are based on HONCODE principles. And it's evolving. Recently, we updated the HONCODE criteria to Web 2.0. So we took the same criteria, but we adapted it to blogs, forums, and community platforms. So thank you very much. I invite you to go and visit our website. Are there any questions? Adam? Sorry?
First of all, thank you very much for your presentation. I would like to ask you if you apply different quality criteria for health, somatic health websites or interventions and e-mental health interventions in your evaluating process.
No, we don't have specific criteria for e-mental health, but it's true that e-mental health website, there are lots of e-mental health websites that would propose online consultations and online tools, or it's mostly specific to mental health, and we are very careful with them. But the criteria are the same.
Thank you for your presentation as well. I wondered if you'd ever done a correlation between the HON mark and something like Google PageRank.
I'm sorry, I don't know what Google PageRank is.
Okay, it's an indicator of the extent to which a site is connected. I mean, Google wouldn't probably tell you what the algorithm is, but you can ask for a tool kit to be downloaded and it gives you an indication of interconnectivity, the in links to particular sites. I'm sure that's not the exact technical thing, but I just wondered how that went, because in a study we looked at the relationship between Discern and Google PageRank, and it was quite high, for example.
Okay, so if I understand your question, it's if the quality of website are related to the number of links. Yeah, okay. I'm sorry, I don't really. But as we use the Google technology to search within database, it will show first the website that have more links in our search engine. So, voilà.
I have a question concerning the second criteria which you mentioned. Mm-hmm. How complementary to the patient relation, patient-doctor relation, how can you evaluate if the information is or is not complementary?
Thank you for the question. How can we evaluate if an information is complementary or not? It's mostly when it's not complementary, it shows up, like you can tell. If it's criticizing without scientific backup, or if it's proposing online consultation without knowing the patient before, or like it sounds a bit fishy. Like it's when it's not complementary, you notice it pretty fast. And what we call by being complementary, it's information that maybe the doctor don't have the time to explain, but will it has to be objective. And if it's objective, it can't really go against a relationship with a health provider.
Thanks for the presentation. My question was about whether some of these principles need to be addressed through text, or would it be acceptable to address this audio-visually on the site through a speaker?
We had cases where it was, for example, you had a video, an online video, and everything, like the references, everything was in the video, but we asked that it would be provided underneath, like as it can be a small line underneath the video with who the speakers are, who is in the video, when was it published, etc. Because if you don't have a good browser or a good speed internet access, you won't be able to see the video, or you see just a part and you'll miss maybe some information that are important.
Thank you very much.
My question is about the recertification of the sites that you have. Mm-hmm. I suppose that you monitor whether they adhere to the principles after they are certified.
Yeah.
So how do you do that, or how often do you do that?
So how do we assure that once they're certified, they will keep on? So there are different ways. The first is to, we have an annual revision, reevaluation. The other one is we have a complaint process. So the user, if you click on the certificate, there's a compliance violation form you can file if you think that the website doesn't comply to the principles, and we will treat it as a complaint and evaluate whether the complaint is receivable or not receivable. The last one is we are able to identify where there are major changes on the website. We have tools that will tell us that this website has major changes, and then we'll go and visit it. So I think the time is over, so we'll go on with the next presenter.